listening to the Fish on Ted podcast with your host, Ted Johnson.
Well, hello, this is Ted Johnson with the Fish on Ted podcast. I want to thank everyone for joining us today. We're recording this on the, I think it's the 22nd of April in 2024. And we've got a great guest. I've been looking forward to this interview for quite some time now. This gentleman and I got acquainted a couple months ago, and we've been helping him with some marketing and that sort of thing, and things are coming along pretty well. But he has a really unique business, so I'm not going to steal any of his thunder, but Garrett Greca, I think, is on the line. Garrett, you there, man?
I'm here, Ted. Happy to be here.
Well, terrific. Well, you come from the great state of Florida. How in the world's the weather in Florida today?
It's Florida's doing its Florida thing. It's about 85 degrees and not a cloud in the sky.
Wow, good for you. Good for you. Now, I've got let me do a little intro for you, Garrett, real quick, because you have a really unique business. Garrett has a business called Iguana Begana, and it's based out of southern Florida. And his focus is he is a hunting and fishing charter specializing in hunting iguanas because of just the massive of population of iguanas that have come into his part of Florida. And so, anyway, Garrett, how in the world did you get into this business?
I've always lived in Florida, but I moved down to South Florida about 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of the young entrepreneur mindset that I had, I just saw all of these iguanas running around, and I saw a need for removal just because of all the damage that they'd done. And that's kind of just started the brain ticking, and that's kind of how it got started.
Now, iguanas, they're not native to Florida. They've been brought in like some of the snakes that we hear a lot about. Am I right?
Yeah, there's a couple of rumors of how they got started here. They have the rumors of people just releasing them as pets. They have the rumors of, you know, they had the facility out in the Everglades that got wrecked by Hurricane Charlie, and then they all got out that way. There's a bunch of different rumors of how they got here.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I mean, they're everywhere. So it's besides the fact now, and they're invasive and they're causing a lot of damage. So just trying to take care of what we can.
Got it. Now, what kind of damage can an iguana do? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So, the main things that we see is the burrowing, and whether it's burrowing, against seawalls, and they kind of use that seawall as the edge of their nest when they're, laying eggs. And that can be anywhere, you know, along the multi-million dollar houses on the intercoastal, or it can be, you know, out on the levees that control all the water systems in the Everglades. That's kind of the main issue is just the burrowing with that. But, you know, they climb trees and they can get up into people's roofs, and they're definitely some mischievous animals that are looking to cause trouble.
Yeah, you know, I've had a little bit of experience with iguanas over my life. When I was living in the southern Philippines, we had a lot of iguanas in the jungle and the forest that we lived within, and they just kind of became, you know, part of the scenery there. I don't think they're as thick there as what they are in your part of the world, but it was really interesting that, you know, that these things, because of all of the openness of the buildings and stuff, would get inside the buildings, and you'd go into a building and you'd see a, you know, 4-foot iguana, you know, sitting on a ledge or something, and that was a little bit startling to me, being from where I'm at. But it's amazing how they kind of adapt to the culture they're in, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's the thing too, is most of the time, like with people that don't know, they're just a little startling. They're not going to do anything to hurt you, really.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, you know, most people aren't used to it, so that's kind of what you know, brings that little bit of fear too.
Absolutely. Now, you offer not only the removal of iguanas, but then you offer hunting trips. Is that right, to people that want to go hunting for iguanas?
I do. Yep. Just kind of going through the backwater canals and canals that connect out to the Everglades, and just out on a flat boat shooting them off the canal side. So.
And you use a special an air rifle for that? Is that what you use?
We do. Yeah, uh-huh. we have a couple 22 caliber air rifles, sighted in with nice light scopes and hollow point pellets. So yeah. it's high caliber shooting, and it's definitely a good time. People love it, and they go kind of crazy for it when they get a chance to shoot something that most people never have. A lot of people have been on these hunting trips all across the country, but they've never shot a reptile that's six feet long. So
6 feet long. Holy smokes. Mm-hmm. What, is that the average size, or is that considered a big iguana?
Yeah. I mean, six footer is definitely a giant. Uh-huh. But there is plenty of 5 footers and more 4 footers around than you can count. But yeah, 6 footer is definitely a trophy. You're going to want to show that one off, for sure, to some of your buddies back home.
Wow. That's so cool, man. So what's a typical experience? Somebody shows up at the landing or dock or marina where you're at, and how does the day go?
Yeah, kind of just, pick them up at the boat ramp, and then we go out, kind of go to a little bit more rural areas and, teach them about the different types of iguanas, teach them about the different invasive species, just because, there's also, Muscovy ducks that are invasive. There's Egyptian geese that are invasive, and those are all, targets too on the guided hunt. But really just kind of teaching about the different species and how they act and how they, kind of move out throughout the morning and what they're looking to do, where they're nesting, stuff like that. And then I kind of get a gauge on people's hunting experience by shooting at some of the iguanas a little bit that are in more open areas where there's no real obstruction. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the day, you kind of move into a little bit difficult, and where the bigger ones are, it's kind of in a little bit tighter spaces. They don't really move from their burrows that often, but they have the big egos, so they're just out there puffing their chest, trying to mate as much as they can. So that's kind of how the day goes, and just progress that way and see what we can get ourselves into.
Right. Now, I'm assuming there's no limit on iguanas because they're an invasive species, but, how many iguanas do you typically shoot in a day?
Yeah, so that varies. It varies a lot on the weather. A bright, sunny day is going to produce a lot more iguanas than a cloudy day because, even though it is Florida, they are cold-blooded, so they do have some of the biggest egos of any animal that I've ever experienced, but they will not come down from the trees or out of their burrows if they don't think or they don't know that they will get enough nutrients feeding, or if they will be able to, do whatever else they're going to do that day that's not worth their time versus energy. So on a bright sunny day, I don't know. We've shot about 20, 25,
wow,
on a charter.
Uh-huh.
And then, on a cloudier day, it'll right around 5, five good sized ones. But I've had days not on a charter when I'm doing, the commercial stuff that I've killed 80, 90 iguanas.
Holy moly. Really? No kidding.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. That is amazing.
But yeah, it's craziness when they're on a spot that hasn't been touched in a long time, they are everywhere.
Really? And so many reptiles, at least in my experience, are nocturnal, but it doesn't sound like the iguanas are a nocturnal reptile. Am I right?
No, they love their tropical sun.
Uh huh. I'll be darned. Now you were saying when we first got started talking here that iguanas probably can't hurt you and that sort of thing. But are there some things that you have to sort of be cautious about when getting close to an iguana?
Definitely. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, they are a wild animal. And they, like I said, they do get up to be 5-6 feet long. So any animal with claws and teeth can hurt you.
Sure.
But, the tail is normally what can get some people if they're not prepared for that. And I try to, go through the ways of how to hold them and how to hold their legs so that they can't swing their tail around. And I mean, they have long claws because they're climbing on rocks and digging through all kinds of tough terrain. So they have long claws, and then they got kind of a very sharp tail that they use to defend themselves too, if they need to.
Uh-huh.
The mouth, a lot of people, don't, there's not too much they can bite you, but, it's nothing crazy. It's really the claws and the tail that are, what you want to stay away from.
Yeah, they're herbivores, aren't they? So, I mean, they don't have big pointed teeth and that sort of thing. They eat mainly plants, don't they?
Yep, they eat a lot of flowers, lots of different grasses, any kind of fruit that they can find in people's gardens. They will annihilate a garden.
Really?
But anything brightly colored, they go absolutely nuts for.
I'll be darned. And do they travel in groups or packs or herds or whatever that name is for a bunch of iguanas in the same place?
Yeah, no, it's not that they travel so much in groups. It's just that they have, they have their territories. So there's normally one big alpha that gets to control that area.
Uh-huh.
And then he'll kind of push out the smaller upcoming males until they can challenge him. So
right. And what's the reason for using air guns versus like rimfire, 22s and that sort of thing to hunt them?
Just the silence. And that's kind of like just going back to my roots of how I started. I started, removing iguanas in people's neighborhoods. I would do a residential job that was just taking them out of someone's backyards, and it's just being able to come in quiet and mm-hmm. get in and get out kind of deal.
Right.
And then that just was so efficient that I decided that that's kind of how I was going to go about it into the bigger commercial jobs and then also into the guided hunt.
Got it. And you're primarily hunting out of your boat, is that correct?
Yep. I have a 17-foot flat boat that we hunt out of.
Uh-huh. And how many people can hunt with you at a time, Garrett?
We like to stay at four hunters is definitely a boat full.
Right.
Two is ideal performance. That way both people can, rotate shooting. It's mm-hmm. very safe. It's very enjoyable with two, and then three, it's just more rotating, and I like to keep everybody busy the whole time. So, anywhere from four to two hunters is ideal.
Got it. And when you shoot them, then are you going and collecting them for disposal? Is that?
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep. So we shoot them, and they're very hardy, even with their, even with the 22 going in them. So, we normally like to shoot them, make sure that they're, done out for the count. And then we'll grab them off the bank and, take a couple pictures with them and all that jazz.
And throw them in the cooler or bag or whatever you're doing. And then do you turn those into the state or what do you do with the iguanas, at the end of the trip?
So right now there's no bounty, if you will, for the tails. I think that it's coming soon. But right now there's no bounty. So kind of what we do is we'll go and I'll take some of those big males and I'll clean them for the customers. And, you know, they can either bring home the skin if they want, or, if they're feeling adventurous, they can bring home the meat and try to come up with some kind of concoction to make it taste good and have it for supper. So
is that a challenge?
It's no filet mignon. Let's just say that.
Oh, no kidding. And what do people do with the skin then?
All kinds of things. I'm actually working on coming up with a producer to have some wallets and leather products made, that they can, you know, have shipped to them, after the hunt. So
right.
It's on the horizon. So.
Oh, no kidding. That is so cool. I'll be darned. And then you also fish for peacock bass. Is that fished in the same location as where you're hunting iguanas?
It is. Yep. All those invasives all kind of, are intertwining through the South Florida Canal. So that's the highway of how they all get spread out.
Oh, no kidding. Now, in the Northwest, we have a lot of guides and charters that will hunt ducks and fish. And so, you know, that's a fin and feather expedition. What do you call yours?
We call it the cast and blast down here.
Cast and blast. I love it. And so it's a half a day of both, or how does that work?
Yeah, so we kind of split it up. It normally, same thing with the peacock bass, is they like the hot weather too, but the peacock bass are some of the most aggressive fish that I've ever come across. So normally it'll be a peacock bass fishing trip in the morning, and then depending on how that goes and the weather, kind of transition to the iguana hunting a little bit later in the day.
Right, right. Now I'm going out smallmouth bass fishing on Friday with a client. Looking forward to that. How is fishing for peacock bass different than fishing for, like, let's say, largemouth bass?
It's very similar. Very similar. It's kind of just that they have their beds a lot longer and they reproduce a lot more often than largemouth bass.
Oh, okay.
So they sit on their beds and they wait, or they sit on whatever kind of structure they're going to be on.
Uh-huh.
And they're pushing out anything, be bluegill, be largemouth bass, be, pretty much any other fish that is coming anywhere near their, structure that they're protecting is going to get shoot away pretty quickly. So, either a live bait or a fly is my favorite way to catch them, is going to get smoked as soon as you put it in their area.
Now, do you fish top water for them?
They will smoke a top water.
Really?
They will eat. I've caught peacock bass on spoons. I've caught peacock bass on just about anything you can pull out of your tackle box, and some things that aren't even in your tackle box that you find in your kitchen. They'll eat just about anything if you throw it at them enough times.
Oh, no kidding.
Very, very, very visual type of fishing, because they're bright orange and yellow and green colors. So you see them through the water and you can just throw your line over and over and over again until they, you know, until you hook them.
Right, right. Yeah, I was going to ask if you're sight fishing them, and it sounds like you are, huh?
Most of it is definitely sight fishing.
More like hunting than fishing. Yeah, I'll be darned.
Yep.
Wow, that's cool. So in a typical day of cast and blast, are you picking up 5 or 10 iguanas and the same amount of peacock bass, or what's the averages there?
Yeah, that's about average. The peacock bass fishing depends on the time of year.
Uh-huh.
But, about 5 to 10 peacock bass in a half day trip is pretty standard.
Uh-huh. I'll be darned. Gosh, that sounds like fun. So I got to ask you, looking back at all of the trips that you've done over the past few years. Was there one or two that were more memorable than others?
I've definitely had a couple good ones. I've had a couple buzzer beaters where we've kind of gone all day and shot a couple small ones, and I keep telling the client, I'm like, just trust that the big ones come out a little bit later in the day.
Uh-huh.
And we shot, you know, a 5-foot, 10-inch iguana as we were rolling back into the boat ramp to call it a day.
Uh-huh.
That was definitely a day maker. And then we've just had some crazy peacock bass fishing days where we've caught, you know, almost 30 peacocks in an hour.
Wow.
They were just schooled up and everywhere. And we were catching them on anything that you could put in the water that we would take them out of the tackle box. So
really, no kidding. Now, what kind of licenses do people have to get to go on a cast and blast with you?
Yeah, since the iguanas are an invasive species, you don't need a hunting license or any kind of license besides the licenses that I have on my boat.
Uh-huh.
And then for the fishing, that's just going to be a freshwater fishing license, which is provided as well when you book a trip.
Oh, really? So you just kind of show up with the appropriate clothes and a little bit of sunscreen and maybe some snacks, and you do all the rest?
That's all you need, man.
Wow.
I take care of the rest.
Wow, that's great. That's great. And then you always hunt and fish out of the same location, or do you kind of move around the area there?
I move around the area. It's kind of based on the trip and where the client's coming from.
Uh-huh.
So I'll go all the way down to, you know, deep Miami, to hunt down there. And I'll go up to right around West Palm area is about as far north I go. And then over to the West Coast too, every now and then, if depending on the type of trip.
Well, I'll be darned. And the iguanas, I'm assuming, are all year round, aren't they?
They are. Definitely are. It's just the, it's just, you know, the shorter days are a little bit time constraining on, you know, the amount of good sun that you have to hunt.
Right. Right. Now, how appropriate would this be for, you know, kids or teenagers to go on a trip like this?
I mean, I've taken every age out that is, it's willing to go. Uh-huh. Teenagers absolutely love it.
Oh yeah. I imagine.
The kids tear up the peacock bass fishing just because of how automatic it is most of the time, where you can just put your line in and let them do most of the work.
Uh-huh.
And then really all ages get a kick out of the iguanas just because it's something that's, you know, so unique to just South Florida.
Right.
That most people haven't gotten a chance to do. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. How far out can you shoot an iguana then? Can you reach out 50 yards and shoot them from that distance?
50 is about as far as I'll do. And then, I mean, some of these iguanas, they're so used to human activity. You can drive right by and almost grab them off the dock when they're, you know, when you're walking by. So.
Oh, really? Oh, no kidding.
Mm-hmm.
No kidding. I'll be darned. Gosh, that'd be a fun place to grow up as a kid with a pellet gun. You know, I'd have too much fun there. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'll be darned. So what was the most harrowing trip that you've taken in the last couple of years?
I don't know. That's kind of a tough one because I like to think that all the trips are, you know, unique and special in their own way. I did have a client that came down and he was kind of, you know, peer pressured into doing it with his buddies. And, he did not even want to pick up these iguanas at the beginning of the day. He wouldn't even touch it to hold it for a picture. And by the end of the day, he was shooting them, running, grabbing them off the bank, all kinds of shenanigans, chasing them down, doing dives after them and everything. So,
oh really?
He was, he kind of warmed up to it as the day went on.
I'll be a convert, so they say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow. No kidding. Well, gosh, that sounds like just a whole lot of fun, and can't imagine that people wouldn't have a good time, you know, experiencing that if they like the hunting and fishing, you know, type of stuff. And
it's redneck paradise. It's redneck. It's a sportsman paradise. It's anybody that enjoys the sport of shooting.
Uh huh.
And then also, you know, the excitement of getting out there and getting after them.
Right, right. I'll be darned. So who's winning this iguana population game? Are you guys making a dent in it, or do you think they're still growing in population down there?
That's a very tough question. Mostly because my business is based on it. So, you know, we're doing what we can,
right,
to remove them. It's definitely fighting an uphill battle.
Right.
But the end is nowhere in sight. So it's just doing what we can and taking out the big breeders as they come. But it's definitely, the population is very large and not slowing down anytime soon. Yeah. I mean, it's an invasive species, so there's no natural predators. There's animals that are starting to adapt to, you know, eat iguanas, but there's nothing that is built and naturally developed to eat an iguana right now.
Interesting. So, I mean, do you have like dogs and that sort of thing that are chasing them down, or are they being eaten by snakes, or what's getting after them now?
The alligators are starting to eat every now and then.
Uh-huh.
If raccoons can get a hold of one, they'll pick out the eggs. The eggs are really what the animals that are starting to eat them are going after.
Uh-huh.
We were talking just the other day. I found a couple of river otters tearing open a big male and eating, or a big female and eating the eggs out of her. So,
right. Yeah, I saw that video. We'll have that on the website. That was fascinating. There were what, three otters that
three
were
otters.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
I'll be darned.
So it's just adaptation at this point.
Uh-huh.
You know, us doing what we can to try to slow down the population, but at the end of the day, it's going to be Mother Nature who slows them down and takes them out, kind of deal.
Right. And then the other side of your business, and we've sort of been touching on it a little bit, is just working commercially with homeowners and property owners and that sort of thing that have iguana problems. And you have traps and other things that you can do to help them reduce the population around their buildings and residences also, right?
That's right. Yep. We do a lot of condominiums, homeowners associations, golf courses, all that kind of stuff. That's just and more of an inconvenience of people coming down and having to deal with them.
Right. Right. Yeah. I'll bet that can be startling to some people coming down and seeing a six-foot lizard in their way of, on their walkway. That'd be kind of crazy.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's definitely startling. And I think it was maybe 3 months ago now. I got a job just because, you know, there were iguanas out on this pool deck and, you know, community pool or whatever. And this lady had, she had bright blue toenails. And an iguana came up there and thought it was, I don't know if it thought it was a blueberry or what it thought it was, maybe a flower, and took a little nibble.
Oh,
and,
my God, really?
that was an interesting phone call to get, and they definitely rushed job to go ahead and take care of those over there.
Wow, no kidding. But I would imagine that's just sort of an ongoing thing, isn't it? I mean, if there's that many, you can get rid of them, and a couple weeks later, you might have a few more back, huh?
Yeah, it's definitely a fine line of being able to take out them for so long.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of where I try to set it up where I can, you know, come back every 4 months or whatever it is and take out whatever it is, you know, however many there are. So it's not overwhelming all doing, you know, once a year kind of deal.
Right. Right. Now I read somewhere, Garrett, that if you hang CDs and let them kind of flutter in the wind, it scares the iguanas away. Is that a wives' tale or is that true?
I've never experienced that working. I'm also, you know, I don't know if that's a patience thing or what, but I'm more of a let's take care of it now kind of deterrent, and let's try to keep them away.
Yeah.
There is, you know, methods for keeping them out of the trees and whatnot, but I've never heard of the CDs. I've heard of that for keeping away birds, but not necessarily iguanas.
I'll be darned. Yeah, I don't remember what website I was on, but it was about iguana. Maybe it was a Wikipedia site or something, and they had mentioned that if you hang CDs, and I thought, well, that's kind of innovative, but they're so big, I don't think they'd be scared away by much of that. But you know, you never know, I guess.
I'll tell you what, man, they have the biggest egos of any animal. Like those big males, if it's not a headshot, they'll sit there and eat 3, 4, 5 body shots before they start moving. They'll take a body shot, look at you like, did you really just shoot me? And then you can shoot them again. They'll be like, wow, that guy just shot me. They'll look at you again. He's not going to shoot me again. And then they start to get the hint and they start moving along. But I tell you what, man, they are some hardy creatures.
No
dinosaurs,
kidding.
You know.
Really? Do you think it just doesn't hurt them, or it's just screw you? I'm going to sit here and look at you for a while.
I think it goes back to what I was saying earlier with just kind of their territories.
Uh-huh.
And that big male, you know, having to, he's worked for however many years to kind of be the king of that rock.
Right.
I think that has something to do with it. But I don't know, man. I'm in disbelief all the time of how hardy they are. And they'll sit there and laugh at you. But that's the thing too, is like, if you shoot them twice, and there's no way you're catching one. If he is not wounded enough where, you know, he's healing over, there's the chances of you running up there and catching one is very, very slim.
Are they just elusive or quick or both?
Well, they're either right by their dens where they can shoot down in the rock, or, you know, they'll jump right in the water and they swim like alligators through the water.
No kidding. Okay.
They're very quick through the water as well.
I'll be darned. Well, Garrett, if somebody wants to get a hold of you and talk with you about, an iguana or a peacock bass trip or both, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. I mean, they can either give me a call, or they can reach out to my email is iguana.begana@gmail.com.
Uh-huh.
Or my cell is 407-455-3650.
Got it.
Happy to take them out. Happy to show them, you know, the South Florida hunting experience.
I would imagine as you have grown your business that your calendar gets full pretty quick. How far out should people be calling you if they want to go on a trip with you?
Summer is definitely the busiest. Summer, I'm normally booked out almost a month.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe a little bit more depending on how well the hunting's been. But yeah, so I mean, the sooner the better. That way I can put you on the calendar and we can kind of try to pick the best day weather-wise to get out there.
Right.
But yeah.
Wow, cool, man. And I would imagine that you have a lot of people coming down that are tourists and that sort of thing. Also, you're located right in the Miami area, so they could fly into Miami, could they not, and meet you there?
Fly into Miami or Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, okay.
Or we have West Palm Airport, too. So we got three airports very close that, you know, all great hunting locations out of those three airports. So.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, cool. Well, hey, man, I really appreciate the chance to talk with you. And I know our listeners are excited about this. And you know, let's stay in touch as this, you know, the summer goes along. Send me some photos and we'll post it up on the podcast, on the notes page and that sort of thing. And just keep people up to date on this and maybe have you back in the fall and we'll talk about how the summer season went.
Sounds good to me. Always a pleasure, Ted.
Hey, thank you very much, Garrett. Appreciate it, man.